سبحانك يا ذا النعماء يا خالق كل الأشياء موجود لكن ليس كما في الكون نرى من أسمائي.
All praise is due to Allah, the Exalted, and may Allah raise the rank of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his kind relatives and companions, and protect his nation from that which he feared for them. Welcome to a new episode of Community Connect, hosted by Nadia and Ola via 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. Absolutely glad to have your company once again. Thanks for joining us on the other side. Well, today we have another very interesting and fantastic episode ahead, and it's very specific to this period of time. In particular, we do have many individuals deciding to hit the open road and go for nice long vacations with their family and friends. It's certainly a convenient time, Ola, as kids are off school. It's a great opportunity to experience a plethora of outdoor activities. So with lengthy road trips, especially during this period of time, there are many people who actually don't consider preparing for the trip ahead. So
yeah, especially if you're one of those spontaneous people. And look, for a long time I was one of those very spontaneous people in terms of, you know, taking trips and things like that. It would just be kind of an ad hoc decision that was made, you know, in late one night.
I mean, sometimes it is nice to spontaneously go on a lengthy road trip.
It is, and it works when you're couples and you don't have the responsibility of taking little children along with you. Once you have children, those dynamics change, and you can't really do much spontaneously. Everything has to be pre-planned in advance and very well prepared for, otherwise things can turn sour very, very quickly.
Exactly. And as we know, in Australia and New South Wales in particular, you can drive for a very long period of time. So even if you want to travel from here to the entrance, it can be quite a lengthy trip. So obviously a lengthy road trip comes with plenty of preparation, plenty of advanced packing and preparation. So in today's episode, we will be providing some great tips. And we took quite a long time, Ola, accumulating these tips. And we did,
because when you try to consider every aspect of what a road trip entails, there's a lot to actually factor in. And, you know, depending on the needs of every family and the kind of trip that you're taking,
exactly,
all these things need to be taken into account. But I think we've got our bases covered.
I think we have, Ola. And as you specified earlier, there may be additional tips. If we do have time in today's episode, we will be sharing some more. And by all means, if any of our listeners have any particular tip of their own to share, then they are more than welcome to do so by calling 97072747 or sending through a text message via WhatsApp on 0410 830 930.
And I guess things like that, they become accumulated over the years as you experience these frequent road trips. You learn something on every trip, and it becomes, you know, something that you document time after time and you take into account every time you plan for a road trip. So it comes from years of experience. And look, I'm one of those people who actually, I do enjoy road trips. I would much rather a road trip than, say, a flight, especially
Same.
Like if it's going interstate or something like that. I quite enjoy what the road trip brings along with it, and those like stopovers.
It's a nice family adventure, isn't it?
It is.
And it's less strenuous and less tiring than perhaps flying to a different country or flying to...
I mean,
to...
flying may be quicker and more convenient for some people, but you don't get as much out of it, I feel. Like, there's so much that you can gain through that road trip and see new places and discover new things along the way that you simply would miss out on if you were to take a flight. So road trips, although, you know, they are interesting, they're not made for everyone, but there are a few tips here and there that can make that road trip a little easier to handle.
Exactly. And of course, with children, road trips can be extremely exhausting and very stressful, which
are we
is
there
why
yet?
Exactly. It's the most common phrase repeated during road trips that children often drive their parents insane with. So let us know about how your trips go and
what kind of inventive ways you've come up with to occupy your children on long road trips without them, you know, driving you to the brink of insanity.
Exactly. Are we there yet, Mum? Are we there yet, Dad? And, you know, trying to figure out a way to get them to quit using that phrase. There are quite a number of ways, especially with the advent of technology, Ola, in which parents have found ways, different and inventive ways of entertaining their kids during a road trip.
But
sometimes you run out of ideas.
You do run out of ideas. And look, children, they're very interesting because they cannot focus on one thing for very long. So you have to have like a whole program.
They do have quite a short attention span.
And they do. And they get bored very, very quickly from doing one thing. So you need to always be inventive and very creative in the kind of things that you have at their disposal to keep them entertained, especially if it's more than a couple of hours or a few hours that you're driving. If you're making an interstate drive, that would be very, very fascinating.
Well, the good thing about a road trip, Ola, is that there are stopovers that you can take. There are breaks that you can actually take to make things a lot easier.
That's right.
Something you can't typically do with a flight.
That's right. And the other thing is, you know, on a flight, you can be quite wary of your kids acting up if you're taking kind of a longish flight because you're surrounded by a lot of other people and you need to be mindful of their needs and their comfort and all that. Whereas, you know, in your own car, they're more contained and you can put up with
it's
your
much
own
more
children.
Flexible. Exactly.
No, you can put up with your own children acting up from time to time.
That's
it's a
right.
lot different to being on a plane strapped to a seat and
with a toddler, that is.
With a toddler.
Specifically focusing on toddlers because these are the kinds of people who just don't like to sit down, Ola. And as you mentioned, when you're on a plane, you're surrounded by a number of different people who many of which can't actually tolerate a toddler who's just screaming their head off, not wanting to sit down, not wanting to be strapped by a seatbelt. So it can be very exhausting for the parents, but with a road trip, it comes with a number of opportunities to stop on the side and change of scenery.
Yeah. And I think that's why most families with children do opt for road trips rather than flights to other countries and things like that, only because it just gives them a bit more flexibility in that sense.
Well, the bottom line is a key to a successful road trip is preparation, which is why we decided to prepare some tips that you can keep in mind before jumping on the road for a long distance travel on the road. So make sure you do stay tuned and inshallah, you can also share some of the tips of your own. You are listening to Community Connect with Ola and Nadia on 92.1 FM. We'll join you shortly for those tips. Stay tuned.
صلى الله مولانا
Welcome back, dearest listeners. You are tuned in to a new episode of Community Connect with Nadia and Ola on 92.1 FM, the Muslim Community Radio. Well, like everything else in driving, a successful long trip starts with planning. So preparation and planning is key when it comes to a long vacation on the road. So we're going to start off addressing some key tips on what to consider before you officially hit the road. The first tip is in regards to having proper sleep before you begin your journey. And that's actually to avoid fatigue on the road, because as we know, fatigue driving is said to be one of the biggest killers on our roads. In fact, according to the New South Wales Centre for Road Safety, fatigue driving caused a total of 75 fatal accidents. In addition to that, fatigue has overtaken drugs and alcohol as the second biggest contributing factor to fatalities after speed. So the key here is to avoid being a statistic this summer by getting plenty of sleep for the lengthy drive ahead. So as I mentioned earlier, driving in Australia can involve some very long distances, which means long hours behind the wheel. That's something that the average driver is not accustomed to. So what we mentioned is that fatigue driving is a serious problem on our New South Wales roads, Ola, and it actually significantly reduces a driver's ability to handle the car safely. So what is really paramount, Ola, before taking that voyage, before taking that trip, is to ensure that you get a good night's sleep.
And I think many people underestimate, you know, the importance of getting proper sleep before a trip. I mean, we all get carried away with the packing and with, you know, lugging stuff and doing all the shopping beforehand and stocking up on supplies and things like that. And we can, you know, if we're limited or restricted to some sort of a deadline or something like that, we can often forget our own needs in the midst of all that. We're so focused on just getting everything done, buying all the supplies and doing all the packing and, oh, have I forgotten this and have I forgotten that, that, you know, sleep becomes secondary almost. But it's very, very important, and it's important not just for one of the two parents, it's important for both of them, because it's most likely that a lot of the times both of them will be sharing the driving task, especially if it's a very long road trip. So
exactly,
it's equally important for both parents to be well rested before a trip. And look, even if there is only one of you driving, and I'm one of those people, Nadia, even if there's someone else driving, I can't sleep.
Exactly.
I can't sleep and leave the other person, because I think if everybody's asleep in the car, this person's going to start to get tired with no noise, no interaction, no.
Exactly.
So I find it very, very difficult to, you know, nod off while somebody else is driving, only because I find the need to keep them mentally stimulated and occupied.
Exactly. It's actually quite known that fatigue-related crashes actually occur more frequently when the driver is alone. So it is important to be beside that driver to keep them alert and to keep them aware and conscious of their surroundings. And if possible, if you do hold a P1 or P2 provisional license or full license, it's advised that you take over and you share the load with that driver. Even if that person does not want you to, try to convince them, because at the end of the day, driving can take a huge toll on our mental health. And it's important when it comes to a lengthy road trip that you stay alert and you stay conscious of your surroundings. Now, it's really important to note, Ola, especially for someone like you, that coffee and other caffeinated drinks are no substitute for sleep.
No, they're not.
So
I know that. I know that.
It's good to know that you know that, because a lot of people prefer to have caffeinated drinks and coffee in order for them to stay alert on the road.
Now, look, coffee will only kick in for a certain amount of time. And yep. I know that from experience. But it's no substitute for sleep. If you are really sleep deprived, there's no amount of coffee, again, from experience, that's going to keep you wide awake or, you know, functional, mentally functional, like you should be.
Exactly. And I came across research pertaining to chewing gum. And apparently, Ola, it actually helps to increase circulation and helps you be more alert. And I think it has something to do with the repetitive process of chewing.
We have to be consciously doing it. Like, it's not something, it's not an involuntary behavior. You need to be aware that you're chewing.
Exactly.
So I think that level of consciousness is required to be able to do it. But that's a good tip. I actually never thought of chewing before now.
Yep. Apparently chewing gum helps you stay more alert. So maybe that's something you should consider the next time you take a trip on the road.
Also, another factor that may be a little off-putting for people when it comes to taking road trips, Nadia, is whether they or their children experience motion sickness. I know many people are affected by travel sickness, whether it's by car, whether it's by boat, or whether it's on an aeroplane.
Yep.
So this can be a deterrent often, and something that can make a road trip very, very unpleasant. So it's always good to take this into consideration before you start out on your road trip and ask your family members if they do experience, because sometimes young kids don't know that this is what they're experiencing. But do ask them, you know, if you're in the car, do you ever feel sick? Do you ever feel like you want to throw up or anything like that? And
I think the act of vomiting speaks for itself, Ola, that they experience motion sickness.
That's right.
Sickness.
But sometimes, you know, little kids can find it hard to express what they're feeling. Even if they're feeling unwell, they're not quite sure how to go about until it's too late, and by then, well, you know, you're just going to have to turn back home, because there's no way you're going to make a road trip with that stench in the car.
Exactly. And for some people, Ola, the mere idea of traveling by car makes people sick. So there are different severities, and many people do experience this in a different way.
Some people
physically, they just become sick. They have this sick feeling inside their stomach. So it's typically a very common thing for people to experience.
And look, I'm one of those strange people, Nadia. I don't normally experience motion sickness. The only time I feel that I am being affected by motion sickness if I'm traveling by car is if I'm on an empty stomach, funnily enough. If I'm on an empty stomach, I find that it affects me.
Makes you feel nauseous.
It makes me feel nauseous, so I really do feel it at times.
Mm.
And there are other times when it's completely negligible. Almost.
Exactly. So. And surprisingly, some particular foods trigger motion sickness. But for someone like you, not having anything to eat actually triggers motion sickness.
Most of the time, if I know I'm going on a long road trip, I do need to have something, even if it's something small, like even if it's a biscuit or something like that, just to settle my stomach, because otherwise it really starts to get to me after a while. So this is one of the things that you do need to take into account before you set off on a road trip. Ask your kids if they do experience any motion sickness and take the precautionary measures. And by precautionary measures, I mean, getting the appropriate medications if required. There may be some that are, you know, suitable for kids. There are some that are only suitable for adults. So make sure that if you have an adult and a child, you get the appropriate medication for either one of them. And also, a lot of people tend to get these medications, but then forget to take them before they set out on the trip, which is besides the point. They don't follow the directions, and a lot of them do advise that you need to take them, you know, at least half an hour before you get in the car or on a plane or whatever it is that you, whatever means of transport you're using, because once the symptoms set in, they're not as effective. Even if you do take them, they're not as effective. So you do need to take them beforehand, and usually, you know, to be on the safe side, at least half an hour before you set out on the road trip. So in that regard, you do need to be prepared, and you need to have the frame of mind to say, we're leaving in this amount of time. This may be a good time for us to take our meds.
That is an important consideration to make, Ola. A lot of people just simply want to take that medication without following the directions that they need to take.
That's right. And of course, one of the things that we know about motion sickness is that people who sit in the back for some reason always feel it more. It's strange.
But it's true, if you're sitting in the centre at the back.
Yeah.
And there's no one sitting beside you. Even if people are sitting beside you, you feel like you find yourself on top of someone else.
And funnily enough, Nadia, I know people who need to be the driver, because unless they're the driver, they will experience motion sickness. They need to be the driver. The only way they won't experience motion sickness is if they're driving.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know people like that. So if they need to drive, by all means, go for it. Otherwise, the next best option is to be seated in the passenger seat at the front. And usually they say, you know, fresh air is really good. So try and get some fresh air if it's not sweltering outside.
Exactly. So the second best option is to be in the passenger seat. If you can't drive, sometimes for obvious reasons, you don't have a license or...
That's right. And this can be tricky, because sometimes if it's a little child, it's not an option for them to sit in the front seat for safety reasons, of course.
Exactly.
Especially if they're seated in a booster seat or something like that.
Yep.
But there's just some of the things that you need to keep in mind in terms of motion sickness.
Ola, you know, when it comes to making a long trip on the road, many people want to
get
there as soon as possible. Exactly. But at the same time, it's important that you take as many rests or as many stops as you can to ensure that you don't experience symptoms of fatigue and you don't get exhausted. And
you're going to have to. If you're one of those people who's traveling with young kids, look, toilet breaks are an almost hourly necessity. So whether you like it or not, you're going to have to factor in those stopovers.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if you'll be driving for 3 hours or even 24 hours. It is important to actually schedule breaks and rest to keep your journey safe. And so make sure you plan how many rest stops you will make and for how long, factoring in the check-in time at your destination. So as we mentioned, for many people, it's all about getting there as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But with a long trip comes breaks as well that you need to factor in.
We always factor in about, you know, an additional 2 to 3 hours on our road trip. Say if something's going to take us 7 hours drive, we add another 3 hours or so for those stopovers, and we take that into consideration, trying to find out, okay, we need to get there, say, by 2 p.m. for check-in, and we got to leave the house at this time because we're going to have to stop this many times along the way. So it's all planned into that whole journey.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea to do. And if you do have those little kids with you and you want to find out, sometimes you get to those rest stops and they look very minimal and
they
very bare, and they barely have like functional toilets a lot of the time.
Let alone clean toilets.
And they just
rather hold it in than
There's really nothing go. Much to do. So the kids kind of hop out and there's just like a park bench and a bubbler and one toilet.
That's why preparing in advance is important, Ola. Do your research and see what kind of stops are available on your way.
And look, not just rest stops, but there may be some very nice tourist attractions that are not far off your route that you may be able to stop over at. Nice beaches, for example, other attractions, lookouts, things like that. And we always try and do that. Sometimes we discover things along the way and we look at the signage and we think, oh, look, there's a, it says a scenic drive. Let's go.
Exactly. Well, in New South Wales, the RMS has a map of roadside rest areas, and it basically contains details of facilities like toilets, which are pretty much the most paramount things when it comes to road trips. And they also have some playgrounds. You know, kids, as we mentioned, can get very bored in the car. So
it will give them a release to let out all that built up energy and their restless legs moving.
That's right. But the thing is, sometimes when it comes to giving them that break to play at the playground, what ends up happening is it's hard to bring them back in the car, especially if you have a toddler like myself. My son, as soon as you take him down to the park or the playground, good luck trying to get him back into the car. So you need to factor that in. So as I mentioned, you know, the RMS does have a map of the different areas you can visit. Basically, just search for rest area map at rms.newsouthwales.gov.au, and also similar guides are available in other states as well.
In addition to regular stops, you may want to consider an overnight stopover if you are making an exceptionally long drive. So if you're driving, say, from Sydney to the Gold Coast, this is always a good idea. And I've done this many times, and we used to do the Sydney to Gold Coast drive all in one hit almost.
It's a very lengthy trip.
It's a very lengthy trip.
And sometimes you have no other choice but to stay at a nearby motel.
And the thing is, when you're making a long trip like that, you're bound to be driving throughout the night. And that's a very dangerous time for any driver to be driving when they're, you know, their body is used to being asleep at that time. And no matter how much rest they've had during the day, it's just a natural response for them to kind of want to doze off at so late into the night. So we always now factor in a stopover halfway. Mm-hmm. So usually it's somewhere around Coffs Harbour that we schedule our stopover. And we make these plans ahead of time. We make the booking. Just any budget motel will do. It's just somewhere where you can crash. You've got a pillow. You can stretch your body out. You can have a shower. You know, just somewhere where you can just get out of that confined space of the car and get some decent hours of rest. And it makes all the difference.
Of course it does.
I never knew how much of a difference it made until we started doing that.
Yeah, because it does make a world of difference. And again, it comes down to making that advanced preparation and, you know, anticipating that, you know, after a few hours, you will need to make that decision.
But it's also a bit of an adventure. A bit of an adventure because you've stopped at this place and you may go around and discover some of the close, you know, attractions in the spot that you're at and things like that. And we usually get up in the morning and go for breakfast and, you know, do all our, you know, set up ourselves for the next leg of the trip. And honestly, I don't think I could make another interstate trip without like a halfway stopover overnight.
It can make a world of difference, doesn't it? You know, to stop over at a specific location and rest well and prepare yourself for the next day.
That's right. But like I said, do make those bookings in advance, only because during peak seasons, it's going to be a long shot for you to find vacancies. Especially if you're traveling as a large group, it's going to be a far stretch for you to find vacancies at short notice during peak season. So make those bookings in advance.
The next tip or piece of advice pertaining to lengthy road trips is to ensure that your car is able to withstand a lengthy road trip. And that's something that a lot of people typically tend to ignore, Ola. It's really, really essential that your car is trip ready.
That's right. Equally as important as you being physically up to the trip in terms of being well rested and all the rest of it is your car being in good shape, because it is, in fact, the vehicle that is getting you from point A to point B.
Exactly. And the last thing you want is to pack the kids and to pack all your things, hit the road, and everything come to a screeching halt due to a vehicle malfunction. So it really pays to make sure that your car is well equipped for the trip ahead. And if you're not too sure, if you're someone like me who doesn't understand anything about the mechanics of a car, have a qualified technician inspect your vehicle. Get your husband to organize that. Or if you don't have a husband, maybe your dad.
No, try not to say that to your husband. He might get offended. Say, I'll have a look at it. What's wrong with me?
Exactly. Well, make sure your spare tire is also in good shape and ready to go in case of a blown tire. Also, if you're traveling a long distance and possibly driving through remote areas, it may also be a good idea to pack a spare fan belt, because who knows when you might need it miles away from the nearest service station.
And the amount of stories I've heard where people have been in the middle of
nowhere
and something that never has ever happened to their car before has happened right then and there, miles away from any services.
Exactly.
And, you know, it can set you back hours and hours and hours off your trip.
And it can really put you off the trip altogether if something like that happens. And it's bound to happen. And for many people, it does happen. So, you know, make a booking for a thorough checkup in the month before you leave if you know you're going to take that trip, because, you know, vehicle repairers do get busy.
And look, if you're
during
not,
holiday peak time,
if you don't trust your car too much, this may be the time to consider maybe renting a car or renting another vehicle.
Depending on your budget.
But, you know, if this may be something that you want to factor into the cost of your whole trip. If you do think that you may experience issues with your car, or sometimes the vehicle itself is very small and you feel like everybody's going to be cramped and, you know,
exactly,
people, your kids are almost going to be sitting in the middle of all your luggage. So, you know, maybe something to consider whether you need to get a rental for that trip.
Well, it's something you cannot simply overlook. Your car is the single most important thing when it comes to a lengthy road trip. It has to be reliable. It has to be secure, because we don't want any malfunctioning to happen on the road.
And before you make your trip, make sure your car is cleaned properly and decluttered. Now, anybody who's travelled along a freeway on a long trip, you know that those bugs are going to smack your windshield and your car is going to look atrocious by the end of that trip. But still do that, especially on the inside. Do clean it up. Give it a good clean out. Give your kids the space they need to stretch their legs out instead of, you know, having all the ordinary stuff that you lug around with you. So, yeah, everybody just gets that extra bit of space.
There isn't more of an annoying feeling than being surrounded by your own clutter and mess during a road trip. It can be very uncomfortable, Ola. So it really pays to have a plastic bag handy and just to place all the rubbish in that plastic bag. And if you're having those continuous stopovers, remove those rubbish bags outside and ensure that you have a nice clean car for the next few hours ahead. All right, this is something we all typically, or most of us typically, don't do, which is to prepare an emergency kit in your car for unexpected events or occurrences. And for many people, they don't expect the unexpected. You should expect the unexpected, especially when it comes to lengthy road trips.
But then again, that's why it's called the unexpected.
Exactly. Well, there are a few suggested contents for an emergency kit, if you'd like to call it, or the unexpected events kit. A good idea would be to pack things like a car charger. A lot of people tend to use up their battery on their phone during the car ride. So having a car charger handy and one that actually works is something you should consider. Another important thing is a first aid kit. Imagine being in the car and having someone hurt themselves. Kids typically,
yes,
you know, get themselves in a mess sometimes, and it's important to have that first aid kit handy. A flashlight is also important, and I know for many people they have a flashlight handy on their phone, but if you're going to be using up your battery on your phone, then it leaves you with no option. To use a flashlight. Jumper cables, also very, very important. Candles and matches, water and blankets. And look, an emergency kit really ensures that you have the tools on hand to assist you in getting help, in alerting other drivers to the presence of your vehicle, and, you know, just enables you to cope with the basic challenges that you might face.
And while you're at it, you may as well just pack yourself a tent, because who knows? Okay, so the next point is, it's about food. We all need to be, you know, replenished along the way. And sometimes we choose to take the easy way out and just to stop regularly at fast food chains or whatnot along the way. But look, roadhouse food is not the most appetizing.
No.
It's usually really greasy food and stuff that, if you're one of those people who does experience motion sickness, it's going to make it all the worse. And look, during peak holiday seasons, roadhouses and fast food chains can be really, really overcrowded, and you'll be waiting for hours in a queue to get your meal. So this is where some advanced preparation and some handiwork in the kitchen will come in to serve you well. Because if you just, you know, prepare some light sandwiches, I'm not saying, you know, cook yourself a feast, but just make some sandwiches, pack some snacks, you know, dried fruits or whatever. Pack them in a like a cooler bag or something that is easily accessible. It's not a good idea unless you're in a like a station wagon or something where you can just reach over into the back. It's a good idea to have like a cooler, somewhere near you, that where you can access and just throw snacks to the kids in the back
seat. And it is important, Ola, to actually keep a cooler bag handy and to keep your food and drinks inside the cooler bag, because especially on a hot, muggy day, you don't want your sandwiches to be soggy and lose their freshness. And in addition to that, you don't want your drinks to lose that coolness as well. So have a cooler bag handy. That's something that I would suggest you to do. And, you know, having snacks and drinks prepped ahead of time really cuts down on the need to stop, as well as the costs associated with, you know, having to buy food outside as well on the road. So having that handy, especially with kids, they're going to tell you they are hungry, they want a snack.
I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, are there any snacks?
And snacks at petrol stations can be incredibly costly. So have those snacks handy for your children. Keep them entertained. And again, make sure that they are keeping their rubbish away in a plastic bag.
But also, in terms of packing your own food, factor in the fact that you do have little kids in the back seat. And if you pack anything, make sure it's not going to be messy for them to eat. You know, obviously you're not going to pack them like spaghetti bolognese or anything like that. But like if you're making sandwiches, make sure they don't have a lot of drippy stuff in them, like, you know, sauces or whatever, that they're just going to get all over the place. Make sure it's something like that can be contained within the sandwich and not outside of it.
Don't make it a saucy sandwich.
Don't make it a saucy sandwich, which in that case, my son probably won't eat. But also in terms of their drinks and stuff, I know it's easier just to throw in some poppers and stuff like that. But, you know, they are messy as well.
They are. They
and, you know, if you've got three kids in the back all squirting juice at each other.
It's going to be a sticky mess after that.
It's going to be one sticky mess at the end of it. So do, if you want, like pour their juices into spill-proof bottles and things like that, just to keep the mess down.
Exactly. And it's also quite annoying, you know, having to stop every 2 seconds because you left something you need during the road trip in the boot of your car, which is why plan the way you want to load your car, especially factoring in things that you may need access to during your road trip. So it may help to pack a separate bag with changes of clothes and other frequently used items, so you don't need to unpack the entire boot to find what you need.
And believe me, that's happened before, and this is exactly the tip that I love the most, because over time you learn how to actually plan the way you're going to pack your boot because of this one issue. Because there's nothing more annoying or frustrating than you get down and you're supposedly having to stop for 10 minutes at this rest stop and then realizing that you need this one item and it's right at the bottom of every single item that you've packed.
Exactly. So I would personally keep things handy like paper towels, wipes, water, snacks, chargers, plastic bags, all of that handy within reach.
And for little kids, you know, a change of clothes, I cannot explain to you, you need that change of clothes at hand.
Exactly.
You don't know when they're going to spill something on themselves or maybe have an accident because they weren't able to hold it.
And imagine being on the freeway, Ola.
Imagine
that. It's very difficult to pull over and very unsafe as well. So make sure you have all of these things that you need within reach, and that's to avoid having to pull over frequently. So the things you will only need once you arrive at your destination should actually be at the bottom or further back than the things you need to access regularly during your trip.
And yes, although most trips require one straight line on the freeway and only a few turns here and there, do make sure that you have your GPS device handy, because if you are making some of those stop-offs or going to rest areas, it may be sometimes a little difficult to find your way back onto the main route. Yep. And if you don't have a GPS device, I mean, most smartphones these days come equipped with some sort of a navigational feature, whether it's, you know, a maps kind of app or anything like that. So it's always good to have one on hand. I mean, sometimes if you're out of service, depending where you are, if you're in a pretty remote area, they're pretty useless, I have to say.
I know. And, you know, sometimes it helps to actually have more than one GPS device
and
active.
Have a backup, you know, going back to the olden days, have like a paper map with you
if you know how to read it,
if you know how to still follow one.
Exactly. You know, with technology, something we are very familiar with, Ola, is that you can experience a number of malfunctions using technology. So they can get quite unreliable, connection problems. You've got, as you mentioned, service issues as well. So it's important to factor in the idea that you can't simply just rely on a navigation device.
That's right. People have ended up in strange places, Nadia, following navigation devices. But let's not go there.
Also, there is something a lot of people don't do or don't prefer to do, and that involves the fact that if you are going on a particular road trip or traveling to a different country, it's important that you ask a couple of your trusted neighbors to keep an eye on your house while you are away. And not only that, not only when you will be away, but for how long and how to contact you in case of an emergency. And the reason for that is they will be more likely to take action if they do notice anything suspicious occurring, like something that really happens or typically happens during this time of year is people trying to break into your house, especially when you write up a status on Facebook informing the world that you will be away from this date to that date, you know.
Yep, you're pretty much given
the burglar the keys to your house almost.
Might as well.
If you just told them exactly what time you're not going to be home. Which kind of leads us to the next point, Nadia, and this is where you should assign at least one of your neighbours to pick up the mail and any newspapers that are left on your premises while you're away, because these can be those tip-offs that, you know, signal to burglars or potential burglars that there's nobody home.
Yep.
If your mail is piling up over 2 weeks and that pretty much tells them, look, there's nobody home. That's exactly. Your green light. Let's get in there.
And this particular topic, Ola, requires an entire episode to cover.
That's right.
So there are different ways of, I guess, tricking the burglar into thinking that you are at home, such as parking someone's car in your driveway or perhaps keeping the light on or television on.
Look, technology comes into play with this one because there are a lot of fantastic little gadgets that can tweak things around your house to make it appear as though you are home, because there are a lot of things that you can program now, like lights go on at certain times and things go off at certain times and all sorts of fantastic things. And then now you've got even those doorbells with the cameras that, you know, can monitor. Even if you're away from your house, you can, via your smartphone, monitor who's at your door.
Exactly. Well, Allah, I think we will need to have to stop it right here. Thank you very much, dearest listeners, for tuning into this episode. And I hope those tips thus far have inspired you to enjoy the next road trip you make with your family. Until the next time we reconnect on Community Connect, please take care.